around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. Pastor David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. What a great joy it is to be with you today and to share from the Word of the Almighty God. I certainly hope and I trust and I pray that these teachings that we're presently doing right now on this new series about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It is my prayer, it is my desire that these teachings are truly enlightening you, helping you, exposing you to pure, unadulterated truth so that you might fully, completely understand the times. We need to be like the men of Issachar. They had understanding of the times. A lot of people think they understand the times, but in retrospect, they don't. We have all this clamor, all this chatter, all of this speaking about the mark of the beast, computer chips, the Antichrist. The timing is not right for those events. We've got to take the Word of God and rightly divide it, the Bible admonishes us. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I was probably one of the first persons that ever exegeted Revelation 13 and told, according to Revelation 13, verse 18, that the word count there in the Greek is compute. It means to compute. So it's clear technology is going to play a significant role in Bible prophecy. You think about China, how they themselves buy, sell, exchange, hypothecate, whatever the case might be, with their phones. They just don't have currency. They just don't use money. And I remember a young man having taught on the Prophecy Club. If I remember clearly, the guy wasn't even a Christian. And this is back in the late 80s, maybe early 90s, somewhere in there. But he had all these dreams. And he told, even in the dreams, how the money, the picture of the presidents, were moved left of center. And we've seen these things come to pass. So all, we're working. It's like yeast that you put in the dough. The dough is rising. You cannot see it with the natural eye. But if you've put the yeast, the leaven, if you put it in the dough, it is rising for certain. But it's not seen with the natural eye because it is such a slow process. But it's taking place. Thus, the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5 and 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In other words, you put just a little bit of leaven, a little bit of yeast in the dough, all of the dough will be leavened. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That's why we seek to keep sin out of our lives. Keep sin out of our lives. Sin is a type of leaven, yeast. It'll get in there and ferment your spirit. Bitter. Everyone that says they enjoy drinking, they like the taste, I don't believe that. You have to stomach it. You have to coerce, force yourself, because it's not natural. But it'll give you a feeling that you want, because you want to get high. But that leaven is a type of sin, and it gets into the hearts and into the lives of people, and it does damage. Terrible, terrible, terrible damage. I want to play a song today by Austin Bridge. It's entitled, He's in Control. This song's about 11 years old. But I want you to listen to the words. Whether you understand, whether we believe, whether we're able to comprehend everything, does not negate the fact that God is not in control.
If you've started a journey down a long dusty road, if your heart's been searching for a place to call home, if sin and affliction
How true. Jesus, the Lord Christ, the Son of the living God, He alone, no one else, is in control but God. You need to believe that and embrace that. As I said, we've been teaching from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to teach through verse 12, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And believe it or not, we're just now getting into verse 2. But I like to be thorough when exegeting the scriptures so that we fully understand and we comprehend the deep things of God. Now, when we concluded last Tuesday, I quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "For it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit," by his Spirit. "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Let me say this as best I can. Most everything from God is deep. It's deep. Paul said that the foolishness of God is greater than the most profound wisdom of any man. If God could be foolish, of course we know that God is not foolish, but Paul is trying to make a point relative to how, and I don't say this to be demeaning because it is, genius God is. Even the most greatest wisdom of any individual is foolishness compared to God's wisdom. In other words, if God were to somehow demonstrate a little bit of foolishness somehow, some way, it would be far greater than the greatest wisdom of any man, any individual. Far, far greater. Again, most of the things concerning God and his word, for the most part, are deep. That's why we're admonished, search the scriptures, study the scriptures, pray for understanding, pray for revelation, pray for wisdom, pray for insight. One of the scriptures I've quoted for 40 years is Luke 24:45. "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Ask God to open your understanding. Don't be complacent, apathetic, and say, "Well, if God wants me to know, he'll let me know." The heart of a king is to search out a matter. Search it out. Too many times, and this is why we have so much heresy in the church. Listen, there's a lot of very, very, very intelligent parishioners and Christians who are smart spiritually. But because the preacher says that, well, he must be right, I must be wrong. That's why I had the encounter that I had 26 years ago, when I determined I'm going to find out about some things. But I pressed in adamantly, vehemently, I pressed into the Lord to search the deep things of God. I want to keep emphasizing the deep things of God. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit must be in you, abiding in you, to help do the searching to enlighten your human mind and reasoning. There are things I know not because I'm smart, it is because the Holy Spirit has enlightened my mind. given me the revelation, given me the insight, given me the interpretation. You see, the word search in the Greek means to inquire and to investigate a matter. Now remember, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So now, let's read it this way. The Spirit inquires. The Spirit investigates a matter. He investigates all things. Once he investigates, he will reveal what he has discovered. In a court of law, it's called discovery. A private detective, a criminal, a lawyer, whatever might be, they search, they investigate. They want all the details so they can synchronous put together all the dots and say, here it is. Here's the actual account how this murder took place. And they lay it out. Now, because of forensic science, man can go so much further, know so much more with forensics and catch people over a fiber of carpet from their car on the decedent's body and say, that body was in your car because that carpet fiber is on that decedent and it comes from your car. It's amazing the tire pattern and the tire tracks. They can find out where the tire was made, when it was made, what store it went to. It's amazing. Well, the Holy Ghost searches all of these things. And that's why I keep saying repeatedly right now, because there's so much hyperbole. I'm not looking for the Antichrist right now. I'm not looking for the mark of the beast. I know it's coming. I know Jesus is coming. How about that? I know Jesus is coming, but he's not coming right now. No. Other things have to take place, I mean. Other things have to come to fruition before Christ literally, physically returns. But he's coming. Don't mistake me. Christ, our Lord Jesus, is coming again, just like he said he would. But it's going to be at a particular time, a divine appointed time, when Christ returns. Psalms 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy word giveth a light. It giveth understanding to the simple. When God's word comes into your mind by the Spirit of God, it gives you understanding. It giveth understanding, David said. I marvel when I read the book of Psalms, the multitudinous of prophecies that were applicable to none other but Christ our Lord. Psalms 41:9, mine own familiar friend, whom I did eat with, hath lifted up his heel against me. Who was David talking about? He was prophesying Judas Iscariot lifting his heel. You could take that all the way back to Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. There's just so much. But the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God enlightening our minds, giving us understanding, giving us revelation, is of great importance in this hour. Let's go on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Things also we speak. Now, what is Paul telling you there? Paul is letting the church at Corinth and the people know, God has given me discernment, revelation, vast knowledge, and we speak these things which God has revealed unto us. Now watch this. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. In other words, man cannot know this in his human wisdom, in his human reasoning. This has to be from the Spirit of God. Let's back up again to verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 2:9. It is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then here in verses 13 and 14, Paul said, I'm not speaking to you from the disposition of man's wisdom and what man teaches. What I'm speaking is from the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost searches the deep things of God. I hope this is making some measure of sense to you. So let's look at that verse again. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14. Which things also we speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. You see, I can teach you some things, and they are always terribly limited. But the Holy Ghost can teach you things that are so profound. Now, when God teaches me something through the Spirit, through the Word, I expound on that and I share that with you. This is why we have the Bible. People say, well, it's hard for me to understand the Bible. That's because you don't read it. You don't spend any time in it. I tell people, when you start to read the Bible, pray, God, open my understanding that I might understand what I'm reading, what it's saying to me. Get serious with the Bible. Now, here again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing or interpreting spiritual things with spiritual. You cannot take carnality and make it spiritual, and you can't take spiritual and make it carnal. They are diverse opposites. There's nothing in common. If you try to do that, there's a constant struggle. That was the admonition in Galatians 5, 16, 17. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. The Holy Ghost says, I want you to go this way, and your flesh and your carnality says, but no, I want to go this way. The Holy Ghost says, don't say that. Your flesh says, bless God, I'm going to say it anyway. If it hair lips the devil, I'm still going to say it. There are many times I would like to say a lot of things, but the Holy Ghost checks me and says, don't say that. Just write that off. Because it's not going to help the matter. I think a lot of things, but I never, ever say a lot of the things I think. Why? Because it's better to hold your peace at a particular time. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, let's look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. A natural man. He's talking about a man that's unregenerated. He's not been born again. He's not been redeemed. He's not been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't understand the natural man. Now, I'm going to say something here that will offend some people. They claim they're saved, but they always operate and live in the flesh. There's something wrong about that in your life. That ought not be. Now, I know we all have the propensity, the proclivity, the tendency to err, to miss the mark. That's the human nature. But Paul said, I press toward the mark. In other words, I'm aiming adamantly at the mark. I want to be right with God. And, you know, I don't care about listening to 95% of the preachers on television. They don't tell me anything. If I'm going to go to a class, I want to learn something. If I go to a class to learn how to read schematics, blueprints, whatever it might be, then if I'm going to spend the money, the time, I want to learn, I want to know that. I want to know that. But see, most people sit in a church, they don't learn anything. As a matter of fact, everything those preachers and teachers are saying are so shallow, so superficial, no depth, no maturity, no profound Holy Ghost wisdom or knowledge. And then the people leave the church and they go right back out into their sin, as I've been hammering the last few weeks, who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. When I read that some weeks ago after my time of prayer, that burned in my spirit. I see people on television turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is just a big word for unbridled lust, uncontrolled. You do anything you want to do. You say anything you want to say. You live any way you want to live. And you say, oh, grace is going to take care of that. Because Jude said they would turn the grace of God. Who turned the grace of God? Who changed the grace of God into lasciviousness? They did it. And they did it for a reason. And as I say, and get made fun of a lot down here because I'm from the South, they twist all of that and they damn people's souls and they're going to hell at the end of the day because they corrupt the word, they corrupt the truth. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Adultery, oh, it's okay. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Don't worry about that. That's just not true. Jude says they're going to come into church. And buddy, have they came into the church. Jude, verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. These men are ungodly, Jude said. They're ungodly men. What does that tell you? They at one time were godly, they backslid, now they've become ungodly. Because they're ungodly, they're turning God's grace into something that it's not. Now they've not literally been able to turn the grace of God. But it's the message that they're preaching about the grace of God that they're twisting and turning to fit their lifestyles. Had a brother, I spent an hour on the phone yesterday, called me from Florida. He's a Methodist. He's a good, good, good brother. Loves the Lord. But he always questioned the pastor. In the Methodist church, it's a kind of a theme. Pastors change churches every 4 years. So the pastor that used to pastor him left. As a matter of fact, he said he went to a place here in North Carolina. I won't call the city just for the sake of protection, protecting the identity. But he called the pastor after he left the church and said, you guys voting for Trump? The man said, we've been Democrats all our lives. We're going to vote Democrat. He said, I was stunned. I was shocked. I was appalled. How do you vote for adultery, sodomy, same-sex marriage, abortion? See, that Jill is not Joe's legitimate wife. Yes, his wife got killed in a car accident, but Jill was married to another man. And that man and Jill were working on Joe Biden's campaign to win a seat in the Senate. Say, it's all on the internet. Go read it. But he was stunned. He was shocked. Supposed to be a man of God. Going to vote Democrat no matter what. Let me tell you something. There is something. Listen, they're all corrupt as hell. But if one of them says, hey, I'm for life, I'm against abortion, and the other says, no, I feel like a woman has the right to abort babies. How hard of a decision is that to make who you're going to stand with? And let me go ahead and shake the tree till there's no longer any apples on it, till there's no more pecans in the tree, there's no more walnuts in the tree, there's no more pears in the tree. I'm going to shake all the trees today. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you align yourself with abortion, same-sex marriage, sodomy. Don't tell me you're a blood-bought, born-again child of God. You're doing what Jude said they would do. You're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. I got to be careful. I'm sick of all of it. You know, the closer I get to God, the more I detest, the more I despise, the more I loathe everything about America, its government, its leaders, its agencies. They're all corrupt. Look at them. Look at them. These people get caught red-handed committing crimes, and they never are punished. Boy, don't you mess up. They'll put you behind the slammer. They'll take your business. They'll take your house. The truth is, we don't own anything as Americans. I was telling my son the other day, we were talking. I said, I can't imagine Benjamin Franklin, Jefferson, these men get up one morning, they're going to go rabbit hunting. Somebody knocks on the door and says, you can't do that, you need a license. Excuse me? No, you have to go downtown and get a permit, a license, so you can hunt a rabbit and a turkey and a deer. You hear me? One of them goes out to get in the boat. They're going to go fishing. You can't go fish. Where's your license to fish? I don't have no license to fish. Well, you have to have a license to fish. If you don't, we're going to penalize you. And if you try to fish without the license, we'll put you in jail. We got rangers. Authorized. They carry guns. They'll arrest you and put you in jail because you don't have a fishing license. This stuff is going crazy. And Americans have accepted it. Americans have accepted it. We are on the precipice of being a communistic nation. We are already socialistic. They take from people like us who work and pay taxes and give it to people who don't pay a dime taxes. How about Joe Biden last year up there on the stage? All illegal immigrants get free health care. Well, Joe, who you think's paying for that? Me. You. See, that's the communistic part. They make us pay it for people who won't work. See, the socialistic part is gone. It's kind of like gangrene. You wait too long, and the doctor says, we got to amputate. 12 hours before, we may have been able to save the leg, the hand, the arm, but now it's just too late. America's only hope remains in God. You see these slithering serpents talk about the Bible. Pelosi talks about the Bible. Biden talks about the Bible. Crying Chuck talks about the Bible. They talk about the Bible. They don't know the Bible. And the Bible, which is Jesus, because it's the Word, doesn't know them. yet they feel qualified to pontificate about certain things. Catholic Church is adamant concerning abortion. And all these buffoons, most of them are Catholics. Paul said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That word foolishness in the Greek means they are silly. They are absurd. You speak, you testify, you witness spiritual things of God, through God, by God. And what does the world says, the natural man says? Well, that's silly. That's absurd. What do you mean, repent of my sins? What do you mean, tell God I'm sorry for my adultery? Tell God I'm sorry for fornicating. Telling God I'm sorry I got drunk. Telling God I'm sorry because I told a lie. That's absurd. All of these things are foolishness unto the natural man, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, or they are scrutinized and investigated by the Holy Ghost that resides in this clay jar. The Holy Ghost says, let me search this out for you. God will tell you, be quiet, be still, don't say nothing, don't do anything, just wait. God says, I'm getting ready to do something. I don't want you doing anything right now, because whatever you do is going to be wrong. See, when the Holy Ghost says sometimes be still, well, I just can't be still. I got to do this myself. You see, trusting God helps us to wait on God. You know, I carry a AAA card. And one of the great benefits of a AAA card is, and that was really the main reason I bought it. I'm not worried about me having a flat tire. But if I'm riding with you and you have a flat tire or you break down, because I carry that card with me, they'll still come and pick me up, and they'll pick you up or fix your tire because I'm riding with you. See, you might say that's the Parakletos. He comes along to give aid. If I'm there, I'm going to get the aid. You're going to get the aid, but it's because I carry that card. You didn't get it by no other reason, only because I carry the card. If I don't have a card and I'm riding with you and you break down because I don't have the card, we're both stuck. Or we got to pay the tow fee and all the other stuff. But the membership, as I said, that's why to me it was so great and pleasing. Not only will they come pick up my car, change my tire, do whatever needs to be done. If I'm riding with you and you don't have AAA, they'll still come out there because I have the card. Now remember, we're teaching here from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Now, we just finished the word shaken. Now we want to talk about being troubled, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Notice, be troubled, not in trouble, but be troubled, be perplexed, be disturbed. This matter is troubling me. This situation, this circumstance is troubling me. Paul says that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. And what's going to trouble us is spirits, words, false letters. Don't be troubled. Now, I'm going to say this today. A lot of you are overly troubled because you're overly listening and reading negative information. That's all you feed on. The greater the doom, the greater the gloom. I said the greater the gloom, the greater the doom. Or the greater the doom, the greater the gloom. Whichever way you want to say it. Whatever you magnify, remember this, I've taught this and preached this radically. Whatever you magnify gets bigger. You make the trouble bigger, then the trouble gets bigger. The old cliche in the South. You know how to make a mountain out of a molehill? Add more dirt to it. It just gets bigger. You know how to make a lie worse? Add more lies to the lies. You know how to become more troubled? Listen to more troubling information. People are troubled today. I'm not saying in trouble. They are troubled by what they're listening, what they're hearing, what they're ingesting into their spirit. I'm just not going to live like that. Life is real. There are still elements of joy in life. Going out, sitting on the porch, admiring, appreciating the sunset, sitting down with family, having a very delightful, delectful, and delicious meal, having fellowship with another believer, having fellowship with God, praying, communing with God, reading God's Word, the Holy Ghost brooding, moving upon your life. You see, not everything's negative. You see, we're going to get through this. But then have you believe this is the end of the world? This is not the end of the world. If it is, God lied. This is the end. Humanity. Extinction. Hogwash. It's not so. Read Genesis 8, verse 22. As long as the earth remains, seed time, harvest time, winter, spring, summer, and fall, you're going to have this all the time. If Jesus came tomorrow, which he will not, as you know, the earth, it lasts for another 1,000 years. Around our neck of the woods right now, weeks ago, all the pear trees and apple trees just overabundance. Well, that's usually a pretty good sign. You're going to have a hard winter. Nature knows you need to put on more fruit to help the people get through winter. Isn't God amazing? I am not going to live in acid. If I live in a pool of acid, my whole body is acidic. My words are acidic. My thoughts are acidic. Everything about me is acidic. If I live in a pool of acid, acidity, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to allow somebody's radio program, somebody's podcast, somebody's whatever, negatively affect me and trouble me. I'm not going to do it. Paul said that you be not troubled. That means to be disturbed by a tumult. That means to be disturbed by a commotion, by some profound disorder, such as an horrific uproar or some confusing noise or clamor. Clamor is people talking, clamorous. And everything they're saying is negative, negative, negative. I'm not going to be troubled by the clamor. Let me tell you what we have too much of. Overbearing, evil speaking. Overbearing, evil speaking. Now, to speak evil, you don't have to use curse words. It can just be all doom and gloom. Folks, my God, rejoice. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to come from heaven and come sit down on this earth, and he will rule from Jerusalem. And all you anti-Semitics who want to bash Jerusalem and a third temple, go bash it. I don't believe you'll be a partaker of God's blessings in the earth if you're that much against it. I don't. Why would God let you be a part of something that you don't even believe is real? Or those of you who believe the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled. So people like Pastor Langford, he's preaching heresy. He's preaching fallacy. Why bother to give us the book? What's the purpose of the book? To know the future. To know there's going to one day be a new heaven and a new earth. To know there's going to be a bride, which is New Jerusalem, descending out of God, descending out of heaven from God as a bride adorned for her husband. Why bother to give us all of these details? But it's already been fulfilled. Just why don't you take and go out here and buy your Bible, or go get the Bible that you have, or the ones, if you have many Bibles, and just tear the book of Revelation completely out. And I would suggest tearing from Daniel chapter 7 all the way to Daniel chapter 5. Tear all of that out. From Ezekiel chapter 40, tear all of those verses to the end of the book of Ezekiel. Zechariah, I'd say start about chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Tear all of them out. Isaiah, well, tear out Isaiah for sure. 64, 65, and chapter 66. Tear them all out. Just tear them out. You don't believe it? Oh, but I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I believe what the Word of God says. No, you don't. You wouldn't say the things you say. You wouldn't do the things you do. You don't believe the whole Bible. I hear it all the time. It's out of date. I've heard that more in the last 2 years than I've ever heard it in my life. The Bible is out of date. It is not concurrent with the times. Yet the Bible tells us how the times will be in the end, and yet these idiots say the Bible's not concurrent with the times. It was written 2,000 years ago by a bunch of old stupid men that were fishermen and tax collectors, and they were shepherds, and they were stupid. They didn't know anything. So don't put any stock in the word of the Lord. I hear it all the time. Yet it is the Bible that tells us how the times will be in the end of time. And then it goes on futuristically. When Christ returns, sets up an earthly kingdom, we rule, we reign, we govern with Christ our Lord. And then after that 1,000 years, we'll have the great white throne judgment. The wicked will be raised from the dead. They'll be judged. They'll all be cast into the lake of fire. At that time, hell will be cast into the lake of fire, and death will be cast into the lake of fire, and God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Then we go into eternity. Eternity. Well, the book of Revelation's done been fulfilled. I really wonder if you're going to be a partaker of these eternal blessings, if you think that's the truth, that it's already been fulfilled. The accuracy. As a matter of fact, the newsletter that you got this month was written 16 months ago, but I felt led of the Lord to republish it to show you just how accurate the prophecies were. The burning of the cities, overturning cars, burning buildings, and rioting and looting and pillaging and plundering. See, God knows the future. Paul says, I don't want you to be troubled. Now, Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 9, but when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Let me exegete that. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, the word commotions there, you're going to hear of disorder, you're going to hear of unrest, and you're going to witness instability. That's what the word commotions in the Greek means. Disorder, unrest, along with instability. He said, be not terrified. That word terrified in the Greek means don't be scared. Don't be scared. For these things must first come to pass. And when I tell people it's not time for the Antichrist, it's not time for the Lord to come, they get angry with me. Matthew 24:6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Luke's account of the way Jesus said that was, but the end is not by and by. It's not time for it to come to a conclusion, to a final end yet. But it's coming. And I see so many jacklegs trying to put the cart before the horse. And I'm trying to keep you in a state, a place, a posture, a position where you will not be engulfed in all of this garbage. And your mind, as Paul said, be troubled. Not in trouble, but be troubled. The devil will trouble your mind beyond your comprehension and make you think, make you believe, I need some medication to help my mind. I need to smoke my pot. I need to take my Valiums. I need to take my liquor. I need to drink a glass of wine before I go to bed every night. Oh, by the way, it's good for my heart too. Whose mind is stayed on thee, he will keep him in perfect peace. We're told, be not drunk with wine wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. You drink one glass, you might want another glass, then another glass. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See, the Holy Ghost, remember, he's the comforter. Go pray. Go pray. He'll comfort you. Get in God's presence. God's presence will affect you. I'm going to close with this last statement. Have you noticed? Have you witnessed the plethora of negativity that's being fomented from media platforms? It's just negative, negative, negative. What happened to encouraging the people of God? What happened to Paul's admonition to edify the body of Christ? Now, you know I preach repentance. I preach old-fashioned repentance. I preach against sin. I'm not a coward. I make so many people upset at me. I don't want to listen to him. He's hellfire and brimstone. When you are living in eternity in hellfire and brimstone, you would to of God, you'd listen and take a little admonition and a little counsel from this hellfire and brimstone preacher. But it'll be too late. Once you go out into eternity, you're gone. I am called and I'm ordained of God to be a preacher. I didn't choose this as a vocation. I didn't ask God to call me. I remind him constantly. I didn't call you. You call me. You have to provide. You have to lead me. You have to guide me. You have to instruct me. You have to inspire me. You have to take care of me. You called me to this work. Now you provide my housing. You provide my clothing. You provide my sustenance. And he always has. I'm his child. He's my father. He called me, and I'm trying to do the best I can to do what he's called me to do. This is a true statement. People either love me or they hate me. Thank you for loving me. I pray those of you that hate me, the Holy Ghost will deal with you and you'll quit hating. But I'm telling you, I don't know if hardly anyone, there may be some out there, I'm not sure, that are going to preach and teach as much Bible every program as I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the Word of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, the Word of the Lord. So when I stand before God, it's not going to be, well, David, you talked too much about yourself and you talked about what you thought, what you believe. You didn't tell them what my Word says. I'm going to tell you the Word of the Lord. May we all keep praying. May we all keep fasting. May we all keep pursuing and seeking the face, the counsel of God. Folks, there's power in prayer. Great power. We must earnestly pray. Get a hold of the horns of the altar and keep praying adamantly. Pray. Pray. Harness yourself to the brazen altar and say, God, I'm not getting up from here till I get answers, till I see you move. God will move. But we've got to do our part. We've got to do our part. God bless you. We love you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. I'll see you tomorrow. Hope you're getting something out of this series here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're just going to do verses 1 through 12. We're now in verse 2. I know you say, man, it takes you a long time to get through the scriptures. I want you to get the truth. Get the depth of the truth. Why? Because the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God's things are deep. And I want to take you deeper in the Word. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.